Welcome back to Chatting Rabbis. This is Eliezer Zalmanov in Munster, Indiana.
Mendy Chitrick in between flights in Toronto, Canada, on the way to Istanbul, Turkey.
Well, welcome to our continent and you're traveling. As we mentioned in our last episode, that during the summer there's a lot of traveling going on. So that's why we missed an episode last week. I was a little under the weather and you were on the road, and now you're in Canada, but caught you at the airport. So how are you? What brings you to Canada?
Turkish Airlines brought me to Canada, actually to Montreal. First time in Montreal. I visited some relatives last night. I'm sure you saw the pictures.
Yep.
I was in Montreal for a conference. It's called the ACO, the Association of Kashrus Organizations. It's a conference that happens once a year, approximately. And all the kashrus vadim or kashrus organizations, many of them attend this 2-3 day conference. I came all the way from Turkey to attend this conference.
And is it always somewhere else, or there's a specific location for it?
Past couple of years, it was in the tri-state area. Before that, it was once in California, or I'm sure it was in other places. This time, it's in Canada. Hosted by MK, Montreal Kosher. I'm sure you also hear the announcement for my flight coming up. I still have some time.
It's all good. It's all good when you record in an airport. I'm sure people are forgiving for the background noises, as opposed to when we're in our homes or you're in your office and you're sharpening a chalaf, and those background noises are maybe less forgiving.
Yes.
It might be a good opportunity to discuss the kashrus industry, since you just spent a few days immersed in all things kashrus related. And as you've mentioned in the past on our podcast, and many people are aware that a large part of your time, and I would imagine a large part of your income, is dedicated to overseeing various kashrus activities and facilities around the country.
Of course, I always say that the Orthodox Union, the OU, is the best and the biggest sponsor of Chabad of Turkey. And as Rabbi Moshe Elefant commented to me, that he thinks that after Chabad, the OU is the biggest sponsor of Chabad houses.
Yeah, there's a truth, this truth there. And for many shluchim, kosher supervision and certification serves as a very big part of their income. But it's not just an income, it's also part of the Rebbe's Mitzvayim. One of the Rebbe's 10 Mitzvayim, the Rebbe's 10 mitzvah campaigns, was to enhance and to build the infrastructure of kashrus, both in people's homes individually, but also to make kosher food available around the world. And these large organizations like the OU and the OK and the STARK and the CRC and the MK, etc., are doing a phenomenal job. I play a very small role. You obviously do a lot more than I do, but you see it up close and personal. You see how you have teams of rabbis, first of all, but also support staff in the office, travel agents, and logistics managers who oversee a kashrus industry that our grandparents would have never ever imagined. That I would have never imagined that there can be so much kosher food available, coming from some of the most arbitrary and random places around the world, including Turkey.
That's right. So definitely there's some, and some of the bigger organizations are going to be upset you didn't mention them, the Hofke and the COR and some others. I mean, you did do
a ton of a shir, my shir, the high shir. Well, what else did we leave
exactly.
out?
Exactly. Shir, tam, and baish. So besides the mitzvah kashrus, it's also for us as the shluchim, and this also involves mitzvah tzedakah. So there's a lot of income involved in doing the supervision, supervising companies, people who pay fees, and people who have to pay salaries, and that definitely does take. It's a big part of what I do. I represent actually as a few agencies. First of all, I represent the agency of the Turkish Chief Rabbinate, and I'm responsible for that. So I represented them at this conference. I also do a lot of field work for the OU, for the OK, some for the Chofke, some for the CRC, some for the CRC Sahdut, there are two of them, one is CRC Chicago, one is CRC Sahdut. I also do different kashrus work. It's not only me and my team on ground in Turkey. We do for The Ahuga Saboisim, we do for the Nirbator, we do for the Maglov, we do for the Tartikov, two of them, we do for Tarnopol, two of them, and various other agencies, Rav Lando and Eretz Yisrael, and Badat, and Igud HaRabbonim, and many, many other agencies which rely on our services that we do for them in Turkey and in other places. So that is why it was important for me to be at this conference. There's many other Chabad rabbis. First of all, as this conference in Montreal was hosted by the MK, some of the rabbis and leaders of the MK, like Rabbi Bell, a very respected Dayan in the Montreal based in, and other Chabad shluchim and who work at various kashrus organizations, or they have their own local vadim, like Rabbi Brook from Montana, and others from all over the world. Rabbi Gutnik came all the way from Australia. There are quite a few others,
including Indiana, because my father-in-law was here for 25 years before I moved here. So he oversees all of the kashrus in the state of Indiana. He has his own label, his own kashrus label that he does for various. On various plants, but he also, like you, he represents many different agencies, and often he visits one plant wearing three or four different hats. He visits a plant representing his own label, and then representing the OU and the CRC, the Satmer, his Achdus, and sometimes he'll meet other rabbis there coming from other labels. It's a fascinating industry. And what I learned from my father-in-law, and perhaps you can speak to this also, is that not always do the standards, not always are the standards the same for all of the various certifications. So sometimes they'll visit places for the OU, and their standards are different than the standards for the Hisachtus. And he'll be going to the same plant for two different organizations with two different sets of requirements on the same product. And that's why sometimes you'll have a product that has the OU on it, and it also has what we call a Hamish Hashgacha, because they have different requirements. Not that one is necessarily better than the other, they're just different.
That's right. And so there are quite a few, every organization, every has their rabbi and their poisik who sets up the halachic requirements and guidelines for that vaad, for that organization. And they are different. They are different in approach. They're different in, and we have covered many, many, many different issues there. I mean, I'm particularly, as a rabbi in a Sephardic agency and in Sephardic community, I was very much pushing the various agencies to also have a Sephardic rabbi on their rabbinical board, and somebody who will understand the needs and requirements for Sephardim, especially when we talk about Bishul Yisrael according to the Mechaber, when we talk about Kitniot for Pesach, when we talk about Machzuki Yisura, when we talk about fish and milk, and various other things which are very important for the Sephardic Jews. I'm also, as a Lubavitcher, okay, wearing many hats, talking about many hats. I'm very concerned about the Chol of Israel and for other things which should be important and are important for a Lubavitch consumer. Being in Montreal, where the place where Lubavitch Chita was, some would say invented, some would say strengthened, it definitely is also another point of concern. But also one of the topics that was brought up, being that we are chatting Chabad rabbis, one of the topics that was brought up, Rabbi Bell spoke about it today, was about what are the standards to be expected, if at all, for the traveler community, and that is the Klal Yisrael who are traveling when they come to a Chabad house, and what are the standards that they should be expecting, and if they exist at all. That's also
especially pertinent now during the summer.
Exactly, especially pertinent now in the summer. So at various times on our Chatting Rabbi podcast, we spoke about what we as shluchim and Chabad rabbis, what we expect from these travelers, or what we expect them not to expect from us. But there are certain things that they should be expecting from us, for example, holding the kashrus on the highest level. And that is something which is a sore point, because I'm not necessarily 100% certain that all shluchim actually hold on to that high bar of the excellence in kashrus. Some of them not.
Do you mean personally in their own homes or as a certification?
I think both, in their own homes and an extension in the place where they provide services for travelers, whether it's in the Chabad house or the shul or the restaurants, which are under their supervision. And there's various reasons for it. First of all, because not every shliach, even a veteran shliach who's out there 20 years in the field, not necessarily that his forte is in the kashrut field, and not necessarily he knows what should be expected and what are the standards applied industry-wise. And also because when he came out, when he was 24 years old, or 25 years old, came out as a shliach in some Timbuktu or Yehupitzville, and he applied whatever, or his wife applied whatever standards of kashrus he saw in his house. And not necessarily things do develop, things do change for better or worse. Either the olam, general Jewish world, become more stringent, or production methods have changed. There are other things that, and knowledge has changed. We know things today that people didn't know 20 years ago. And whatever was good 20 years ago, maybe it was because of lack of knowledge, or because of wrong knowledge, or because of wrong practice. And today things change. And there isn't really a general Chabad board or Chabad uniform. We are all an independent, very some people don't like it when I sit on a podcast that we are loosely connected. But yes, we are loosely connected. You don't know anything about my bank account. You don't know anything about my spending habits. There's nobody in the Chabad world who can say anything about my spending habits or my fundraising habits.
But I do know that I can eat in your house.
That is because you know me personally. But you don't know the shliach in some other European country. You just assume that does it just because he has a sustuk and we adhere to the same principles of Lubavitch, that you should be able to eat in his, and be surprised. Be surprised, as I am surprised. One of the things that
I guess maybe I don't want to know.
That's also another point you don't want to know. But because of the position that I take, and also because I'm a little bit of a loudmouth, even though I'm an introvert, I do get calls from many, many shluchim, and I calls and consultations on various issues, whether it's kashrus or halacha or other things. And I'm not a poisek, but I do try to answer to the best of my ability to many, many people, and be surprised how many people don't know what to ask. So while you want to strive to be a chocham, and you don't want to be a rasha, and you hopefully that you came out of tom chetim as a tom, but sometimes the main problem is that you're not sure what is the question. And it is quite an important thing, and it's something that I lack, is having the sensitivity to answer people, to give the people the place and space that they should be able to ask the question. But even when somebody is in a ghetto of Shein Yodei Alisha, not saying in a derogatory way, just because you're not in this world of practical halacha, practical, you know, because you grew up in Crown Heights or whatever, and you just bought things off the shelf, and you know, got some grilled chicken in Marmelstein, and that was the you know, the extent of looking in kashrus. So yeah, it has Crown Heights on it, and say figure out if anybody's going to go to the opposite of Gan Eden, it should be those rabbanim that you want, that you have the name on their certificate. Yeah. Like somebody says, I dafke eat from this and this shchita because I want dafke these rabbanim to go to the opposite of Gan Eden. So the fact is that if somebody who's, you know, you ask Yoda Ben Afshir that he's not Bal Hochi, maybe he should call up people to go and come and supervise. Maybe once a year there should be somebody walking around into Chabad house and say, well, if it's in your house, you do whatever you want. But if you serve other people, let's see, do you actually know what to do? And thinking back to myself, there was no Mashgiach in the yeshiva where we learned in Manchester. There was no Mashgiach in the yeshiva where we were. We just assumed it's a yeshiva, it's a yeshiva.
Because the chef cooks in her own house, so her house must be kosher, so she's serving food that she knows how to cook in her house to the bachur.
It wasn't always that way.
Right.
We had going around in the kitchen in the yeshiva.
Yeah, I wonder how it is in yeshivas these days. I mean, my son's in yeshiva. Tell me stories about the non-Jewish kitchen staff there. I would imagine that there's some kind of supervision in-house at least.
So I know that the ACCO conference has initiated 2 3 years ago a camp committee, and they do send people to go around from camp to camp, giving instructions to the chef and giving guidance to the camp on making sure that in camp, and maybe in camp is even more prevalent than in yeshivas, that the things that should be done and should be done kosher if you have to do the to sift the flour, and if you have to check the lettuce, and if you have to know how to check, certain things are quite simple, and certain things are so simple that they're complicated. You go on Costco and go to Walmart, and you take off 2 cans of pickles. They look the same. The difference is one is kosher, one is not, because one comes from Mexico from a non-certified plant, and one comes from Iowa from a certified plant.
Another thing about cans, since you mentioned cans, that there's a big mistake that people make. Literally, frum, Orthodox, Haredish people that don't know much about kashrus assume that if it's a vegetable, it's okay. But anything that comes in a can is usually cooked and heated up in a retort that could very likely have been in the same retort as a non-kosher product. So unless the canned product is actually certified, it is most likely not only maybe not kosher, most likely not kosher.
That is correct. And then there's also we have to have education about which kosher symbol can be acceptable, which kosher symbol cannot. What are things that you do need to be very, very careful about choosing, and what things you should not? And it's not, these are not just extras. These are very, very often, these are basics of halacha, basics of alavez. And for this, it is quite important to maybe have some from time to time. A good education, a good course. Maybe it's time to have, even at the Kinnusos Shluchim from time to time, and maybe even for regional Kinnusos Shluchim, to invite an expert who will help guide Shluchim to fix up. Maybe things don't have to be fixed up, but there's always something that can be tuned up.
Like you said, always to be aware of the issues, even if nothing is necessarily broken, even if everything is fine. But at least, like you said, the shluchim, the rabbis, the rebbetzins, the bachrim, the camp staff, whoever it is, should be aware of what issues can come up. And the issues that come up today are not the same issues that came up 30, 40 years ago in camps and in
That's right.
yeshivas.
You're right. And but then there's much more than that. We do have, most of us, as part of our education system, and in yeshivas, we come out with the smicha. But how much is that smicha of yoyre yoyre, or even yodin yodin, speaks about practical halacha? I remember I've been to a shliach's house and to a chabad house. And because I'm friendly, and because at least I'm friendly with him, and because I said, let me help you out, let me go through this, try to fix up things and see if things are better. And I, to my astonishment, and I don't use that word lightly, I have found out that this particular shliach, who's a friend of mine for many, many years, maybe close to 40 years, has been serving non-kosher fish. Treifis. Push it. Non-kosher fish for people in his Chabad, so close to 20 years.
Now, when you say non-kosher fish, do you mean an actual species of fish that isn't kosher?
An actual species of fish which does not have scales.
Wow.
Because he was not aware that this was not a kosher fish.
He went by the name, and he assumed that the name was whatever, and
he went by the name. It looked like it was fine for him, so he used it, and he never checked the second time. Until I came to check his freezers and say, this fish is not kosher. Said, what do you mean? And you always have it from the first Shabbos that came to town.
Wow.
I says, well, you got a kosher the kitchen, change your plates.
Wow, that's pretty drastic for something like that to happen.
And it happens more often than not. I'm not saying that every place has non-kosher fish, but every place, even if it could be a Moshav Chassidish, has to know what can be served and what not, especially when you don't live in a Jewish neighborhood. Now, a Jewish neighborhood.
I would like to think, obviously I'm being a little bit naive over here, but I would like to think that this story is an exception, and the overwhelming majority of Shluchim are a lot more aware and familiar with the issues in the kashrus industry than perhaps these individuals that are not.
I definitely hope so. I definitely hope so. But still, There is there's two things here. First of all, shluchim in tri-state area, or not in even by you. If you have a simcha, you have no problem. You call up a caterer from Chicago, he comes down and you do it. You drive every day to Chicago, you fill up your car. It's not every day, every
sure.
second day, you fill up your car, you bring it down. But the shliach who lives somewhere else has to find sometimes substitutes. And for these shluchim have much more of a hard time, and they also have much less of a oversight, and they're not around other people, rabbonim, CRC members. They're not part of the conversation unless it's brought up.
No, that's true.
And
that's true.
And for them, we definitely there's a good place, important place. So it's Mifta Kashrus, as it is, Kokosov.
Right, just like Mifta Tfilin means putting on Tfilin with yourself too. Mifta Kashrus means keeping kosher yourself too.
That's right, and especially more so, and now it is the traveling age when so many people travel, and people travel all the time. And but it is part of our responsibility also, but when we serve somebody, you want to, and we assume that this is a Chabad house, this is to be of the highest standards of kashrus. We keep on Pasisol and Chol Misol and all other Chumus and kashrus and Bav Shechita, whatever it is. And we have to make sure that we also be honest, we some Nakim, Mashem and Misol. So it's not only between us and Hashem, it's also between. It's not only Ben Adam Lamokim, it's Ben Adam Lachabeiro. You show somebody trusts you. You want to be an honest person, be honest to yourself, honest to him, honest to other people around you. You want to make sure that you are giving them the products which they are, and many times, paying for or donating money to your Chabad house for. And they deserve that. And people deserve
they
that.
They deserve the right standards. You know, there's a local caterer here in Munster who recently started doing kosher catering in our Chabad house. So they use our Chabad house kitchen for kosher catering, mostly for our events. But lately they started promoting that they're offering kosher catering at a better price for people in Chicago as well. So a few people in Chicago, mostly shluchim, started using their services, and all of the cooking and everything and the preparation is done in our kitchen. It's certified by me, and I seal everything, and I'm there, and we have a mashgiach tmidi. And a few families used it used them for simchas in Chicago. So I got a call recently, a few weeks ago, from a senior rabbi in Chicago, who I happen to respect very much, and he started asking me questions about my certification. So at the beginning, I was taken aback, like, what, you don't trust me? Like, what, you think that I don't know what I'm talking about? You think I don't know the halachas? You don't know. But then he very patiently explained to me why he's calling. Not that he has any doubts in my knowledge and doubts in my Yerushamayim and my knowledge of the halachas. But just so you know that there could be mistakes, there could be issues, and if you don't do this regularly, you could you can just, like you said, if there's ignorance, mistakes happen. So he asked me all the right questions, and it turned out that he acknowledged and accepted that I knew what I was doing, and he said, okay, very good, because Chicago has, in addition to the CRC, the Chicago Rabbinical Council, and the Lubavitch community, there's also something called ACRI, the Association of Chabad Rabbanim in Illinois. And they wanted to know if they could comfortably recommend using the caterer out of Munster, Indiana. And I don't know what his conclusion was after the conversation with me, but I have a feeling that he was comfortable with it, because we've had other orders since then. So most likely they were happy with us. But like you said, that sometimes you just need to make people aware of the issues, and if they're not aware of the issues, then it has to be brought up.
Yeah, but also don't forget that for you, ingredients is not a problem.
Right, of course. That was a big thing, and most of our shopping happens all in Chicago, and we're even if I'm not the one doing the shopping, but the caterer is doing the shopping, and everything is accessible within an hour and a half, as opposed to having to fly things in from overseas or from a different state.
Or being stuck in the last minute, then what are you going to do? And you have to find something, and it's only with a questionable supervision.
Right.
Can you use it in a questionable? Can you use it on a pinch in a pinch of time? Or it's absolutely no. And who is making that call?
Right.
So yes, we do know that we do stress, and the Rebbe has mentioned it so many times, every shliach and every should always have a rov. But is there the Lubavitch rov that you talk, is it somebody that deals with kashrus? Or somebody who also, yes, he's a Chabad rov, He knows Shilas and maybe Choshemish, but he knows Shilas and Maris and Yerideh. But does he actually have experience in Kashrus? Or he's a kosher consumer like everybody else, maybe a little bit more knowledgeable than the average, but because he's not involved in day-to-day with the Kashrus, he actually doesn't really know what is going on in a factory. So he doesn't know whether a certain hechsher is enough for a certain product or no. In order to keep the high standard, you have to have a better hechsher, even if the shasat chak. And these are questions and issues that you have that we should deal and should face because they are a reality and a reality that we should deal with.
And it's an ever-changing industry, like you said before. But and that's why, circling back to the beginning of our conversation, these conferences by the experts is important, because everybody can use a re-education, even the experts, and even the people that do this full-time for a living still need to be kept up to date, and it's a good thing that you're there. So on behalf of kosher consumers worldwide, thank you for making the trip to Canada. Thank you for spending a few days re-educating and reinvigorating your commitment to the mitzvah of keeping kosher. And yeichlo anavim v'yisbo. May everybody eat comfortably.
Amen. And this was quite fascinating for me to learn. You know, for the first time I met Rabbi Weissman, though. I enjoyed a very lively conversation and argument with him. Rabbi Weissman, who gives the hechsher on the meat, the most meat that we all eat. Met people from various hechsherim, various hechgoches, and had very different, outlook. What are the requirements from a mashgiach? What are requirements to have in a shul? What are requirements for a home catering? What should be the standards or the amount of visitation required in various setups? The issues of Shabbos also. You know, it's not only kashrus. There's also kashrus of the actual food. There's issues of Shabbos. We all run catering services, whether we like it or not, call it catering or not, but we cater to people, and we have issues. What about having a crock pot? What type of crock pot? What about a blech? Can we have, what if the electricity goes off in the middle of Shabbos? Can you ask a goy? Can't you ask a goy? There's various, many, many, many details which cannot and should not be relied on the information that we have from yeshiva or information that we remember growing up at home. There's things that can and should always be questioned, relearned, reassessed, fine-tuned, and we have to educate ourselves. How? What was that thing that the Sims used to have? The best consumer, the educated consumer, what was that?
Yeah, something like that.
Right. So us as providers and everybody else, us are, and again in our other hat, we said we spoke about many hats, and other hat as consumers, we should definitely be educated consumers, and we should consume things with the knowledge. And when we have the knowledge, we're still able to make the right choices.
Very good.
So I think my flight is on time. I'm going to have to cut it short. And I'm wishing myself a safe flight, because he didn't say it before.
Have a safe flight. On behalf of all of our listeners and all the Chatting Rabbis fans around the world, Mendy, have a safe flight.
Thank you very much. Now that I officially received the bracha from you to have a safe flight, I'm looking forward for a safe flight and a 12-hour flight from Toronto to Istanbul. Talk to you next week.
Zay gesund. Take care.
All the best.